Hi, everyone, and welcome to the School Choice Show. And I'm really excited about what's been happening. And so I want to introduce the host of the show, Ed Temple. Ed, how are you? And I'm just really, really pleased with the amount of feedback we're getting since the show launched and the amount of dialogue that's happening that not always is out there. Not everyone gets to hear what's really being presented from some of the stories we've told so far.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's our guest today is going to really be helpful. To be honest with you, I'm curious myself a lot about what the organization does, and I know that in Ohio we have Ed Choice, and I know nationally it's a program as well. And I'd be honest with you, for my book, I used some of the research that they've done on their that they post, and so it's an invaluable organization.
Fantastic. So introduce our guest, Ed.
Yeah, Jennifer Wagner is the guest, and Jennifer has been kind enough to come on the show, and I asked Jennifer to come on the show because we want to let the country know that there are options out there, and there are organizations that are in their corner when it comes to school choice, and Jennifer has actually comes from a pretty unique perspective that I'm going to ask her about, but she is going to enlighten us a lot, and I can't wait to ask her something that you've been alluding to, Neil, in the previous shows we have done.
Awesome.
So, all right. Well, thank you both. Didn't mean to jump in there.
No worries. Thank you for coming on the show. All right.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is really exciting, and just for those who are tuning in, so we are Ed Choice, the national organization, not Ed Choice Ohio. We're actually not affiliated with them, though we did help pass the program in Ohio many years ago. But we are a national nonprofit. We are we do original research. We do trainings and outreach on educational choice. And we also do focused state work. So we have certain states that we are working in at any given time to pass new school choice programs. So very excited to join you today.
Yeah, that was one of my questions that you already answered there. I was so confused about that. Okay, and then so one of my things that Neil alludes to in previous shows that school choice should not be a political issue. It shouldn't be a political football. And what I noticed that on as part of your resume on the website is that it talks about how you have a great resume, by the way. And one of the things it talks about that you have been a spokesman for the Democratic Party in Indiana. And Indiana is obviously one of the trailblazers in the movement.
Absolutely. And, you know, it should not be a political issue. And it's interesting, just this week, Education Next, which is out of Harvard, so, you know, not exactly a lesser higher education institution, pretty well respected, puts out an annual poll. And it's really, really interesting to look at some of the subgroup crosstabs in the poll. First of all, school choice, overwhelmingly popular, voucher programs, tax credit scholarship programs. Charter schools are, you know, a little iffy these days, but we can talk about that because they become a political football. But if you look down, especially for programs like a universal voucher, which would be eligible for any family, no matter what their income would be eligible for, support among Democrats is almost as high as support among Republicans. And I did. I worked for the Democratic Party for on and off 6 years in Indiana. I worked for the Obama administration, though not on education. And it continues to confound me why Democrats oppose the idea of bringing more educational opportunity, especially to low-income communities and communities of color, which often are underserved by our traditional public schools. But I can tell you that even though that is the federal and state level fight that often gets the headlines, that among, you know, just regular folks, regular Americans, school choice is popular in both parties.
Yes, and I'll be honest
Jennifer,
with you.
I'm seeing it, and I was going to say it. I'm seeing, Jennifer, that my concern is that before it used to be more Democrats were for this, but now with teacher unions really pushing Democrats to change their mind and change their narrative to remove Trump from office and do all these different things, more and more people are getting more and more away from school choice on the Democratic Party, meaning certain candidates can't say their school choice so that they don't get ostracized by a specific group.
Oh yeah, no, the struggle is real. As someone who, you know, had a partisan past, it is incredibly mystifying and also disheartening to see, you know, some of the presidential candidates who were instrumental in speaking out on behalf of school choice and charter schools when the movement was starting to get momentum, now don't want anything to do with it. I guess what I would say though is the other component of school choice that often is overlooked, but is definitely reflected in polling, is that this is very much a generational issue. And so my kids are 7 and 11, and they've never not known a world of school choice. And so as they go forward and start families when they are older, their kids are going to come to expect this. And so even though it may feel like we are losing the battle, the war will be won because educational opportunity is something that future generations will come to expect.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at, is that, you know, it's popular with everybody. You would think there would be more support for it, but I got to be honest, the number one book, at least on Amazon, in the category of federal education legislation, well, she's number two, she's a New York Times bestseller, and she tends to have influence. We try to get her on the show, is Diane Ravitch, and the thing about it is, she won't. If I ask her point blank, would you, if your kid was in an unsafe environment, would you want school choice? And they will not answer that question. They do not want parents to have the right to choose. And it makes absolutely no sense.
I 100% agree. And it is an interesting question to ask. If you ask educators where they send their kids, they are disproportionately higher senders of children to private schools. I will say it is, again, the generational issue is real, but we do face, and I'm a big believer in being, you know, inwardly critical of our movement. We face a challenge in talking about school choice because there are a lot of people in America who have chosen a school using old-fashioned methods, like moving to a new neighborhood to be within a geographic boundary, and they do not consider themselves choosers. And so in many ways, we still have a lot of work to do going back to those folks and saying, hey, I'm really glad that you got your great suburban school in your great suburban neighborhood, but you chose that, and other people should be able to do that too.
No, exactly. Can you talk about your, I looked at your bio, can you talk about your motivation for school choice?
Sure, I'm happy to. So my narrative is a pretty simple and fairly common one. So my parents are both public school teachers. They taught for, actually they met teaching, very cute little story, the choir director and the band director. And when it came time to send me to school, they made the choice to send me to a private school because the public school where they lived didn't have the programming that they thought was appropriate for me. And that's why I do what I do for a living. And I always tell people who are critical, especially of vouchers or education savings accounts, my parents had to make a difficult choice. They had to pay for it. It would have been amazing for them to have had the resources they were already paying in taxes to help educate me, but they didn't have that. And they were lucky. They were able to afford it. I'm not really sure how. But other families aren't that lucky. They don't have access to those resources or access to those schools. And so I fight every day to make sure that, you know, every kid in America has the same opportunity that I had.
Precisely.
And see, that's the thing. Wow. I mean, that's the thing, that we all should have that opportunity if we can't afford it. Or the school of choice, if they can't provide a school that's going to be the best environment for our children to learn, then there has to be choice, especially. So I think it's a no-brainer. But again, it really would put more competition and more schools out of business if that was the case.
That's true. And, you know, it's often interesting when people say, oh, charter schools, they're a dime a dozen. They open up, they shut down. You know, they're based on supply and demand. They're based on the marketplace. And I always ask, well, when is the last time you saw a public school shut down? We just keep funding and sending money, and they keep asking. And you know, there are a lot of great public schools in America. Absolutely. But they are not the right fit for every kid. And, you know, you've mentioned safety and security earlier. That is, when we poll parents on what they are looking for in a school, it is small class sizes, faith and values that reflect their own faith and values at home, and safety and security. Those are the three top things that parents are looking for, and oftentimes they don't find those in their neighborhood public school.
Exactly right. Yeah, the Chicago Tribune did a story, and they've done more than one, but one of those stories was that the number one reason for those that want vouchers was just because the religious component. Said, hey, you know, I actually want to hear the word God. I shouldn't be offended by that. And so some kids want that. Maybe some kids want to be able to go to a school that has vocational training. You know, everybody's got their pick of what they would want to specialize in, or what's most beneficial to them. And obviously, when I taught in the biggest district in Ohio, I would never send a kid there. And for the most part, now there's some exceptions, but it was dangerous. I mean, as a teacher, I felt our lives were threatened just about every day. Just walking out of the parking lot, let alone having a kid walk in the streets, because a good percentage of our kids walked home. You know, so it was a very dangerous situation. It's immoral to think that you have to force a kid to stay there. It's just not right.
Yeah, and we have several, you know, mentioning the religious component. There are a couple of big lawsuits that are pending right now, one in federal court out of Maryland, and one that is going to be taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court in this coming term. That hopefully will address some of the issues that are honestly a challenge for us. There are certain states we can't go into and even have a conversation about school choice because there were, you know, constitutional amendments passed 100 years ago, which ironically were anti-Catholic and fully intended to take religion out of schools to punish Roman Catholics. But there are, hopefully, there will be some movement on those so that we can go into states. And it's funny, I always get, my kids go to an Episcopalian school. I always tell people that the oldest one, she needed a little more structure, wearing the uniform, all that stuff. The youngest one was either probably on track to be a politician or a Ponzi scheme artist. So that one definitely needed a little more God in his life. And that's my choice. And I wouldn't send my kid to, you know, any particular school that didn't align with my faith or values. And I'm not saying that other people have to make that choice too, but it should be part of the panoply of options that are available to families.
But what do you say about the argument then that you're taking money away from public schools?
The number one argument that gets used against this, and I will say used incredibly effectively, because people believe that it's true. It is not. We are not taking money away from public schools. I have never walked into a public school and, you know, walked out with a bag of cash. But it's a very emotional argument, because people are very attached to their communities, as they should be, and the schools in them. But what we usually say is, look, if a kid leaves a public school, or any school for that matter, that school no longer has to educate that kid. So if they don't have to pay to educate that kid, that's why the money goes with the child. And in some states, and I honestly off the top of my head can't remember if Ohio's program is one of these, but I know that Indiana's is. So if a student leaves on a voucher in Indiana, they only take either 50% or 90% of the funding with them. The rest of it goes back to the public schools.
Yeah, they actually gain money by the student leaving. So, yeah, that's exactly right.
Now, when you talk about school vouchers, that's one of the biggest debates that it's very tough to talk to unions about. Charter schools, I'll give you the argument for charter schools and as another question. But when you talk about school vouchers, they don't like the fact that religion, the separation of church and state. That's the big thing, Jennifer, why people do not want school vouchers, is that, well, if a Christian or Catholic school gets the money, then they're getting, this is public money going towards religious foundation of education. What is your thought on that?
Well, I don't have to have an original thought on that, because the Supreme Court already settled that matter, and they ruled that school vouchers is not a transfer of money from the state to a religious entity in a school. It is a transfer of money from the state to the family to direct as they see fit, and that is perfectly constitutional. And we have other instances, not in the education realm, where the state transfers money to people to be spent however they deem fit. And I will say too, we've talked a little bit about the federal part of this discussion, but these are state issues. The majority of funding for K-12 education in America is at the state level, and all the programs that we work on are at the state level. And so if a state decides, you know what, we are going to put certain restrictions on this money, we're going to say the schools participating have to take a standardized test, or, you know, have to check a non-discrimination policy, that is entirely up to the state legislature in a particular state. And we believe, hey, those are the laboratories of democracy, and that's how the system is supposed to work. But the argument that this is public funding going to religious entities has already been settled by the Supreme Court.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, and when was that settled, Jennifer?
I knew you were going to ask that. I believe that case was ruled on in 2011, but I would have to double check.
Yeah, but there's a recent case in Massachusetts, right? That's very similar in terms of there was a family that wanted to be able to go, or they wanted, I guess, their type of voucher funds to go to the Christian school, and it went all the way, I think, all the way to the Supreme Court, but they were deciding whether that was constitutional because they say it violated Massachusetts state constitution.
Yeah, and I think, I believe there's also a case, the case that has been accepted at the Supreme Court is out of Montana, and I am a lawyer, but I don't practice, and I don't pretend to understand what the incredibly smart folks on the Supreme Court do and how they take their cases. But I think they were waiting for the right case to come along where they could have the right set of facts to settle this matter once and for all. And the case out of Montana, which is called Espinoza, does deal with their state tax credit scholarship program, where the Supreme Court in Montana, which is, you know, had an interesting hit or miss record of getting the law right in the last decade, you know, ruled that it was perfectly fine for the state to say that the family could not use those funds at a religious school when it clearly was intended to be that way by the state legislature. So again, that one will come up in the upcoming term, and we really hope, fingers crossed, a couple of prayers in there, that the Supreme Court does away with those state prohibitions against funding going to religious entities. They kind of opened that door about a year and a half ago with the Trinity Lutheran case, which was not directly about education. It was actually about whether or not recycled tires could be given to a religious entity as playground material through a state program. And the court kind of hinted that they are going in the direction of making sure that, you know, faith-based entities are eligible for the same kind of benefits as secular entities.
Well, it's something that, again, that we don't bring out all the time, and you need to have that firepower. So that's why an organization like EdChoice is perfect for you when you get involved in these debates with public school teachers or teacher unions or people that are anti-school choice.
And yeah, we are glad to be a resource. We have a, as I mentioned before, we have a robust research team. So if anyone, you know, listening wants to go on our website, we have a lot of state-based research. We also do an annual poll on schooling in America, sort of what parents think, what teachers think, where the direction of approval or disapproval of K-12 education is going. We do have a training and outreach team and our state team. So if anyone has specific questions that they can't find answered on our website, which is edchoice.org, we are more than happy to be that resource. And in those states where we are actively working, we are oftentimes convening trainings, helping parents get the resources that they need to advocate for school choice. And I will say, it is very much a personal conversation. If you could go out and have the dialogue that we are having right now with every single person in America, I doubt you'd find that many people who deep down oppose the idea of choice in K-12 education. But when you're talking to everybody, it's very easy to get misled by the funding talking points or the religious talking points. And then, you know, we are where we are, which is we're having a food fight in the cafeteria instead of an educated debate in the auditorium.
What do you think What do you think the best route to get this movement? There's quite a bit of momentum, but what do you think there? What can be done individually and in with respect to, you know, organizations that want to get ahead of this or to go with this momentum? To what can people do to get this movement countrywide?
Sure. I mean, I think the it's going to sound kind of corny, but for those folks who are who have been able to choose their school by whatever means, charter, private, homeschooling, public magnet, whatever it is, to actually go and talk about and celebrate that choice. Because I think it gets lost because, yeah, you know, I mean, when people are happy and they're satisfied, they don't go advocate because they're happy and they're satisfied. So going out and actually having that conversation about finding the right school is critically important. And when confronted by those who say they oppose school choice, you know, going back to the facts, going back to the data, actually having a rational conversation about school funding. And I always tell my kids this, I probably drive them nuts, but you know, if you're not thinking that the other person is, you know, coming at you with accurate facts or information, ask more questions. You know, oh, well, why do you think that private schools are taking money from public schools? Doesn't it make sense that, you know, if that's the case with private schools, shouldn't you be upset the public school student transfers to another public school? And they will shake their head at you and go, well, wait, no, that's not the same thing. And, you know, no one is mad when someone moves one district over to go to a different school.
That's a good point.
Definitely.
Yeah, more conversations. We just have to keep talking about it. And we do only have folks engaged on this issue typically for a limited period of time when their kids are going through the system. And then, you know, assuming that they either got what they were looking for, they're happy and they're satisfied, or if they didn't, then they're vocal and they're advocates. But we need that conversation to continue past that 12 or 14 year period so that we can have a whole generation of people who are invested in a system that is not a system, but rather a portfolio of choices.
And so that's the resources and the different things that you have available, Jennifer. And that's the most important point is you have to have your ammunition, as I talked about before. Now, and what do you think the ultimate goal for you guys when you talk about school choice? You've been mentioning a lot school vouchers, not as big on the charter school route from what I'm hearing from you. What is your ultimate goal that you want to see for your organization?
Well, actually, and if I was negative on charter schools, that was unintentional. We support charter schools. I was just saying that they have certainly taken taken a bit of a beating in the public square, especially as this presidential debate unfolds. But we are the only, first of all, we are the nation's oldest school choice advocacy organization. And we've been around since 1996. We were originally the Friedman Foundation for Educational Choice, named after Milton Friedman, who is the godfather of the idea of modern school choice. And our goal is universal school choice. So every child in America, regardless of how much money their family makes or where they live, has the opportunity to get in where they fit in. And that could be voucher programs, it could be education savings account programs, charter schools, tax credit scholarships, you name it. We want to make sure that all of those arrows are in the quiver for that family.
Definitely. I think so. Ed, any thoughts on what she's been saying?
No, I think I learned a lot. I appreciate it because a lot of these questions I've had myself that I was having trouble finding answers for. So that's good information. I appreciate that public school to public school analogy. That's very, very good to know because we had that same issue. We have our kids that we live in one district. We drive an hour to go to work and we wanted to use the funding from the school we pay an extra sales tax for. We actually have a property tax and we have a school tax. And we asked, hey, we're putting this money in. Can we get that money and take it to a private Christian school? And they said no. So
yeah, I'm not surprised they said no, but that your situation actually brings up something that is worth mentioning and that we are just beginning to do research on because we're beginning to get data on this issue. But in Indiana, there are a lot of other states that have open enrollment, inter-district transfer laws. And oftentimes they don't do a lot to promote them because, you know, school districts don't want you to know you could go to a different school district. But in Indiana, our interdistrict transfer program is actually larger than our voucher program. And we have one of the largest voucher programs in the United States. It's really, really interesting because, again, it gets to that idea of kids transferring from public school to public school. And when you start talking about that, people get a little uncomfortable and they start to realize, oh, well, if we're going to make that state of play flat, we should probably talk about making those other options available. And I've often said that, you know, if we could get those open enrollment policies in every state, now, obviously, you're still transferring from a public school to a public school, which may not be the best fit for you, but it's kind of like the, you know, it's like Reagan, right? We'd tear down that wall, Mr. Gorbachev. Tear down those district lines. Tear them down.
Exactly. And I never thought I'd hear a analogy of President Reagan from someone that was involved with the Democratic Party. There you go. That's a quote that I definitely need. I think you need to send to your friend, your colleagues that were involved with President Obama. Now, now, best place we can find information on you. Where can we go?
So, folks can go to edchoice.org. On our homepage, there is a state-by-state dashboard where people can click through, see what educational choice programs are in their state, or if they don't have any, there are contact. There's contact information on each state page for who to get in touch with if you want to get something started. Again, we have a great research library that is searchable by state, by topic. Our blog is pretty darn useful, and we do have those trainings and that outreach. So if folks are looking to have someone come and speak at an event or someone come and do a training, they can make a request for that on our website as well. So that's edchoice.org.
Excellent. Excellent. Very, very great information. People need to take this information with them, jot it down, and make sure that they can utilize it in conversations. I sure as heck could have utilized some of that in my debates on my education broadcasts I've done in my career, especially with a union representative and other people that are very powerful in unions, Ed. So this is information when you're in these debates on Twitter or Facebook that you can throw at them.
Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely. And I should have mentioned too, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. I believe that they are all at EdChoice, except for YouTube, which is at EducationChoice for reasons that are unknown to me.
All righty. Well, perfect. Anything to add? We know that we can purchase Ed's book. Where can we go?
Go to Amazon. You can go to christianbooks.com. You can go to Barnes & Noble, Abbey Books, Thrift Books. It's all over.
All right.
Escape from Uncle Sam's Plantation.
Well, fantastic. Another great school choice show. Excited about how we keep picking up more and more syndication. Great feedback from the show. Let's continue to have great guests like Jennifer. Thanks for calling, guys.
Thanks so much.
All right, take care.
Thank you.
All right, that was the School Choice Show, everyone.